Hey there, podcast family. T-Bone here to talk about the 3D Dentist Digital Implant Continuum. Are you ready to start placing dental implants, but feeling a bit hesitant and or overwhelmed? I know that feeling. I've been there. Let's change that together. Imagine not just learning about dental implants in a classroom, but actually performing surgeries on real patients right here in North Carolina, guided every step of the way by our expert 3D mentors. This is dental implant learning at its best, using techniques that are safe, predictable, and confidence-boosting. They're exactly what I use in my own practice, so you know they work. Our course goes beyond clinical skills. We prepare you to successfully integrate high-demand implant services into your practice, transforming your career by attracting new patients and elevating your practice. And it doesn't end with the course. Completing our program is just the beginning of a new journey. You'll be a part of a community of confident, skilled dentists with ongoing support to ensure lasting success and growth. After all, this is about mastering a skill that can transform your career, just like it did for me. So, are you ready to take your practice to the next level? Visit www.3d-dentist.com, check out our upcoming sessions, and join us to revolutionize your practice. 3D Dentist is truly committed to helping dentists take control of their practice, finances, and future. Now let's get back to this week's episode.
Welcome to T-Bone Speaks with Dr. Tarun Agarwal, where our goal is to change the way you practice dentistry by helping you achieve clinical, financial, and personal balance. Now, here's your host, T-Bone.
Okay, so today we have Baron Duder from Kansas City, Missouri. Baron, how are we doing?
I'm great. How are you doing, Tarun?
I'm doing well. Where in Kansas City do you live?
In the Northland.
Like close to Liberty. Kansas City? Oh, no, like Liberty, way out. That's even way out there, yeah. Liberty is a solid 45 minutes outside the city.
Nah, 15 minutes. It's been a while since you've been here.
15 minutes from where? Listen, from where we lived. We lived in, Mission.
Oh, okay. That's Kansas City, Kansas. City, downtown Missouri, that's 15 minutes. That's where the dental school is. It's 15 minutes from here.
You think it really only takes you 15 minutes to get there?
Yeah.
That's interesting.
I belong to a study club. I go down there once a month.
That's not bad, once a month. Yeah. That's good. So, Baron, tell me about your practice. What's going on there in Kansas City? Are you from there?
No, I'm actually from Grand Rapids, Michigan. I met my wife up in Iowa at a small school, and she's from here, so now I'm from here.
It's amazing how that works, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It is. But that's all right. It's worked out well. Yeah. I
was lucky enough. I met my wife, and she's from Fort Lauderdale, Miami. And I don't even think I had opened my practice when we got before. I was already open my practice when we got married. But when we met, no, actually, we got married before I opened my practice. And but I still convinced her to move here. So
nice. Good work.
Lucky me. So that's good. So talk to me about your practice. I mean, how old are you, Brad?
How old am I, you said?
Yeah.
I'm 33 years old.
And you graduated, what, 45 years ago?
Seven. I graduated in 2010.
Okay, yeah. So that's been a while. All right, so would you consider yourself a millennial?
I guess I am right on the cusp.
Okay.
Technically, I am. I'm the old millennial.
So mentally, would you consider yourself a millennial?
I guess, depends if it's a bad definition or a good definition. Technology-wise, I'm definitely into everything new, if you will. I guess I'm trying to think how to think of a millennial. I'm not super.
How'd you get into practice then? Did you start a practice?
Yeah, so I started in 2010 as an associate, and it was supposed to be an associate to buy over a few year span. But after a year of working, my senior doctor, my employer, decided he was ready to retire and asked me if I wanted to go ahead and buy the practice. So I bought it 6 years ago, a year out of school.
So what made you, like, out of school, want to go into an associate? Was it important to you to go into an associateship where you had that potential or the intention to buy the practice?
Yeah, for me, it was definitely important to have some ownership. I mean, I was exploring, honestly, I had four different job opportunities on the table, three of them for the long time, which one was public health, One was working for like a DMO, and then
DSO.
Yeah, thank you, DSO. And then, or working, buying into a group practice, buying out one of the many doctors.
Straight out of school.
Yes.
Doesn't that scare you? But it's like getting married on a first date.
Yeah, it was interesting. That's why, I mean, and I certainly didn't like the idea of buying into a group because, yeah, you said getting married on a first date, because owning your own business at one point is a big enough deal, but then tying yourself to four other doctors and just hoping you get along, that almost pushed me into public health, even though I didn't think I wanted to go that direction, and it was going to be about an hour and a half away from where, in the middle of nowhere. And I couldn't really afford to sell our townhome. It was not going to work out well. I was almost about to pick that over buying into a group practice because it just made me too anxious.
I just, as an owner of a practice myself, I have this conversation over and over with people that, like, when I interview or when people talk to me, I'm like, so is there a possibility to buy in? I'm like, sure. I don't know what the future holds, but I can tell you right now, I'm not going to say yes to you.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not saying no either, but I can't say yes. I mean, I don't even know if we're going to, because I mean, I'm at an age where I'm not trying to go away.
Yeah.
You know, if I was 60 and I was trying to go away, then sure. Yeah. Go ahead. Let's sign a deal, whatever it may be.
It was a little different though in this situation. This wasn't them looking for a partner. This is one of the partners was looking to sell his practice.
His share.
And so exactly. And technically they weren't actually, I should clarify, we worked together. They had the same large building. They owned the building together.
So
the patients were all their own.
Okay.
So they didn't really have any control. He could sell whoever he wanted. But I knew going in that would mean we would have to share the front office and the building ownership. And, there's certain limitations. Technology, they share their technology. So it was sort of a half partnership, if that makes sense. But they didn't have any control over who he sold to.
Right. And then, I don't know about that right now. So, talk to me about what you chose and how you chose it and what made you decide that and how'd you find it. And, you know, kind of, if we were talking to other fourth year dental students or graduating students that are, you know, looking in your situation.
So I guess, honestly, I got lucky because I was exploring those three options. And then out of nowhere, a friend of mine, a classmate, said, hey, I know someone. He's looking to retire in the next 5 years, and he's looking for an associate. And you guys should, you know, go out, grab lunch, and talk with each other. And sure, we went and had coffee, and I think we had a handshake agreement in 3 days.
Now, so it was like it's just lunch? You guys had a first date?
Yeah, we had. But again, that was an associate to buy. It was we can either one of us could get out of it. It did have a buy-in agreement. You know, that way the price was set going in. We knew where it would be in case I grew the practice or whatever. I wasn't going to have to pay for the growth. But it was all set up once. I mean, we talked about it, and then over the next few weeks, we ironed out all the details. But yeah, I liked that. I mean, it gave me some comfort knowing that I could leave if I needed, and he didn't feel tied to me. He could let me go at any point.
Were you still in school at this point?
Yeah. This was March or April, and I was graduating at the end of May.
Okay, so a couple of months. And so you hadn't tied yourself down. So what would have happened if you had tied yourself down to, say, public health or something like that? Do you think you would have been in a position to back out and take this better opportunity?
Well, I think, I mean, as with both contracts, you have so much time that you have to, you know, give notice. So I would think with public health, I honestly didn't see the contract, but I'm guessing it would have been a 90-day, you know, something to that effect. Like, obviously the buying of that group practice, that would have been, you know, close the door on me. And then going into that DSO, then similar, just would have been the contract. So, I mean.
But I wonder if contracts don't execute when you actually start, because technically you're not even a licensed dentist, right?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, is the contract's not tied to your dental license or an NPI.
Well,
it's tied to you personally.
Well, I would imagine that it's tied to you being able to practice dentistry.
Yeah, true.
Yeah. Anyway, I ask this is so ultimately that's like opportunity, right? That's being in the right place at the right time, something showing up, and part of that is keeping yourself out there, and part of that is also not tying yourself down. So retrospectively, would you tell other dental students fourth year about to graduate to lock something down early or to kind of get out and play the field? Or, you know, what would you tell them to do?
Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Hey, podcast family, T-Bone here. Are you a dentist looking to elevate your practice and profits? Then pay close attention. Introducing the 3D Business Mastermind, the dental business coaching program designed for dentists who want to see real results. I've walked the path of practice ownership for nearly 25 years. I know your challenges. I felt your pain. This is your opportunity to overcome the chaos, the busyness, and the financial frustrations of owning a dental practice. Imagine a dental practice where your appointment book is highly productive, doing the dentistry you enjoy, your team is self-motivated, and your profits keep climbing. That's what the 3D Business Mastermind is all about. In this exclusive mastermind, you'll join a league of ambitious dentists driven to elevate their practices. You'll gain access to proven strategies, personalized coaching, and a community that understands your journey. So if you're ready to supercharge your dental practice and enjoy the success you deserve, visit www.3d-dentists.com and take the first step towards a brighter future in dentistry by filling out the 3D Business Mastermind application. Now, let's get to this week's episode.
Oh, wow. I guess I wouldn't tie myself down anything permanently until I felt really good about it. Because there are a lot of opportunities out there, but unfortunately with the amount of debt that they're getting, and I had $250, some today's grads are getting almost twice that.
So now you brought up the debt thing.
That's okay.
It's real. Okay. It's no question. It's not like it's fake money. Okay. It's not like fake news, fake money, but let's listen. You're 7 years out. Looking back five years out, does the debt matter?
No, I mean, it hasn't really affected my life.
Right. But did it hold you back from taking CE? Did it hold you back from technology? Did it hold you back from those things to achieve the success that you're having now?
No, it definitely didn't. But I mean, at the same time, I have to be upfront that I consider myself very lucky. The practice I found and bought was a nice, so it's a little bit tougher when I look at, okay, here you go. I got a buddy that practices in the middle of nowhere, Kansas. And, I don't even know if he made six figures in the first few years.
But those are choices we make, how we put ourselves out there. See, this is my point, Baron. And we're going to get to you in a second and all of that stuff, okay? But this is my point in this whole concept of the student debt is, I believe what people are doing is they're creating roadblocks in their mind from achieving their potential success by letting it be an unnecessary burden on themselves.
Yeah. I mean, heck, just with the way you can do, graduated repayment. I mean, you can open yourself up to be able to still do other things.
You took CE your first 1-2 years out of school, correct?
Oh, absolutely.
A lot of CE?
Yeah. 150, 200 hours or something.
Like cheapo CE that you did on YouTube or the
local society? Oh, yeah, absolutely. I did everything.
Did you do good CE as well?
Yeah.
Let me not say good CE.
I understand.
Let's say expensive CE.
Yeah. I didn't do a lot of it, of course. I would be able to do 1 to 2, $3,000 courses a year.
Okay, but that's still pretty good.
Yeah. So I think it's reasonable to budget, $5,000 to $10,000 a year, even on a low income.
Would you say it's reasonable or it's necessary?
Oh, I think it's necessary if you actually want to be able to increase your income.
So last thing, okay. So here's what I believe, okay. I believe coming out of school, you have about 6 months worth of education under your belt. And what I mean by that is I think 6 months into practice, you've tapped out the knowledge you've gained from dental school in terms of the procedures you can do, in terms of what you can do to increase your revenue, because ultimately the ability to increase your revenue is tied directly to the types of procedures you can do.
Yeah, I 100% agree.
Yeah. So, I mean, to me, that's the challenge for people that I hear that say that, hey, I can't take a education because it costs money or whatever it is, or because I don't have any money, then it's a catch 22. It's a never ending cycle in that situation.
Yeah. As they say, it takes money to make money. So if you're not going to invest yourself, you're not going to reap the benefits.
I mean, you invested 60, 70, whatever the dollar amount is per year to get your dental degree. To me, it's reasonable to invest 10 grand a year in learning. And certainly you have to be smart about what you learn and how you learn and what courses you choose. But anyway, no more soapbox on that. So, all right. So talk to me about your practice. I mean, what define your practice to me. If you were giving me an elevator pitch about your practice, what would you say?
Oh boy. Okay. It's, middle of America. I mean, I practice in the heart of America. My practice is pretty much, you know, defined by that. We have about 85% is PPO.
Okay.
And so, yeah, we participate with four different insurance plans. So I'm pretty familiar with all that.
Are you by yourself?
Yes. I had an associate. I've had an associate for the last 4 years until about a month and a half ago.
And do you intend to replace him or her?
I don't know. Yes, I most likely. But at the moment, no. I had an associate. He was an excellent associate. Was with me for 3 years, and is an awesome dentist. But he bought a practice, and which made sense. I knew it was, honestly, I lost a lot of sleep waiting for that day to come. And I had a second practice so that both of us could have the volume we needed. But when I found out he was going to leave and he bought his own practice, it was time for me to sell the other one and just focus on my primary office. So
now, did you sell that practice because he left? He left?
Basically. I mean, I had already been considering it before, but only because of the overwhelming fear that at some point he was going to leave and I was going to have to manage two full-time practices.
Why
I didn't want to hire again.
Did you consider selling him that second practice?
I did. It wasn't a good option for him just geographically. Where he wanted to live, he was driving about 45 minutes. And when you're in Kansas City, most people don't want to drive that far to work.
Yeah, I mean, it's a pretty spread out city, by the way. So, yeah.
Yeah, well, exactly. He's in he's where you lived.
Yeah.
That office was in Liberty.
I mean,
so
technically, if you live in Stanley, that's considered Kansas City, to a certain degree, right? And so from Stanley to you, I mean, that's considered the metro area. That's a long drive.
Yeah. Yeah,
Olathe, Lenexa.
Yeah, exactly. He was from Olathe. So 30-minute drive for him each day is what he drove. And now he practices about 15 minutes from home. So,
Let me ask you this, okay? What was this person's age?
And he was straight out of school. And
straight
he was
school.
With me for 3 years.
Okay,
4 years apart.
So in theory, I would drive 45 minutes to be in an unbelievable practice or an unbelievable opportunity. Because ultimately those don't come around that often.
Yeah.
So, interesting.
The practice I was selling was just a sort of an average practice. I mean, nothing fancy. I mean, it had CEREC and we did, it had nice equipment and we got to do some advanced procedures because we do, fun stuff, implants and whatnot and some ortho and whatnot. But, it wasn't, it wasn't a diamond in the rough. If I had offered to sell him my other practice, he probably would have been okay with the drive.
Okay.
But, yeah.
All right, cool. So you've talked about procedures there. So talk to me about the procedure mix at your practice.
Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Hello, podcast family. T-Bone here, bringing you our newest live patient implant training, Full Arch Express. For dentists already placing implants and ready to level up and continue building their implant practice, this is the golden ticket. We're diving deep into full arch implants, the hottest game changer in implant dentistry. In this program, we tackle both overdentures and all-annex fixed hybrids, mastering techniques that are essential for modern, comprehensive dental care. It's about getting your hands on the tools and techniques that will replace the doubt and fear with confidence and predictability. Here's the kicker. There's live patient training right here in North Carolina. You're not just learning theories. You're in the operatory doing real work on real patient from start to finish, guided one-on-one by our expert 3D mentors. You'll learn the nuances of each approach, ensuring you can cater to a wide range of patients to maximize revenue. Speaking of revenue, with me, you know it's not just about the clinical skills. We're bringing business into this aspect too. Teaching you how to integrate these advanced services profitably into your practice. So are you ready to rise up to the top in implant dentistry? Join us at the Full Arch Express. This isn't just another course. It's a career-defining leap. Head to www.3ddentist.com to enroll in our next session. 3D Dentist is truly committed to helping dentists take control of their practice, finances, and future. Now, back to this week's episode.
Okay, so it sounds sort of cliche to say it, but we do just about everything.
Ortho.
Yep.
Ortho. Adolescent orthodontics.
Yes. Yes, sir.
So if I was a 12-year-old, I could get braces in your practice?
Yeah. Yep. Okay. I still refer out some. I mean, I'm not an orthodontist, and yeah. I have some great orthodontists I work with. But
soft tissue grafting.
Yes. Yep.
Okay. So literally everything.
Basically, I mean, I pick and choose. If it's a root canal I don't want to mess with, I refer out.
No, I get that. That's fair. I mean, I get that. There's nobody in the right mind should do literally everything, okay? Yeah. So, but at the end of the day, you have every service. Now, when you bought this practice, what was the service mix like?
It was much more bread and butter. Stellions and okay. Crown & Bridge, and that's nothing else.
All right, so let me stress this point then, okay? So ultimately, your practice that you have today, okay, became what it is, or the success it's becoming or has become, is because you took what was there, you took the foundation, and you built on it.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Okay. So you would say, would you say it was a typical 1980s, 90s restorative-based practice, drill, fill, bill, crown and bridge, maybe occasional anterior endo?
Yeah, and very occasional.
Okay.
very rare.
Okay. So basically, before you bought the practice, if I walked into that practice, I could literally get a cleaning, I could get a filling, I could get some type of indirect restoration. Could I get a tooth taken out?
If there was only soft tissue attachment.
Okay, so essentially, what else can I get done besides those three things then?
Dentures removable. He did removable.
Okay, I could get removable. So yep. Your dentist that you purchased this practice from had four tools in his tool belt.
Yeah, I mean, at that point. Before, because I don't want to play him down. Before, earlier in his career, he did much more. But by the time he was getting ready to retire, he stopped doing endo. He stopped doing extractions, and he had never done implants or ortho. I think he did a little ortho a long time ago. But it was very basic of what was going on. The true basics of dentistry at the point when I took over.
And I'm not trying to put anybody, I don't even know who the person is. Okay?
Yeah, I understand.
But the point I'm trying to make is ultimately double-fold, okay? It's for people that this series of our podcast is targeting the millennials, okay? Or young in their 10 years and less in dentistry, okay? Is that to me, what you look for is you look for a practice that you can build upon, not build more of the same things, because who in the hell wants to do more fillings and crowns and all of that? It's a rate limiting step of how much you can grow. Okay. And then my other point selfishly also is to my generation of dentists, the people that have been out, 18 to 25 years, is most of us, I'm a little bit different, but most of my colleagues are getting into those things now. And what I'm seeing is the timeline of going from a restorative 80s, 90s dentist to being the true modern, the 2010, 2020 dentist is the timeline is shortening. I mean, your generation is coming in and they're essentially learning and doing these procedures within 5 years that it took me 10 to 12 years to get the courage to do. And what I'm telling my generation is your practices are going to die a slow death or suffer if you don't get on board with these things.
Yeah.
And that's my point in that, okay, is that you've got to, if you're listening and you're my generation and you're not, and you're literally just have 3, 4, 5 things on your plate and your tool belt, I mean, your patients are going to look for other solutions at some point in time. Because if I walk into your practice, Baron, it sounds like I got 20 tools in my tool belt.
Yeah.
So how'd you get there? How'd you get from being the 80s, buying the practice that was limited in what it did, to doing the things? You didn't learn those things in school, I'm sure.
Yeah, so I guess, honestly, Dentaltown was my first big awakening. There's just so much out there, and realizing the the openness, a lot of people talking about just different products that I never would have heard of had I not, you know, learned from Dennis that had been there before. So trying to get ahead of the curve by, you know, jumping on Dentaltown YouTube.
And that's free.
Exactly.
Okay.
You can learn so much to get, and at least also to figure out what you want to learn more about, what
right.
actually interests you. Because at dental school, you know, it definitely it prepares us for boards, and that's realistically about all they can do.
6 months worth of dentistry.
There you go. So you got to learn what you really want to do by figuring out what's out there. But today with Facebook, it's even, you know, even more open. You can
so would you say Facebook has is in a way replacing? It's hard for me to say that because I have such a personal connection to Dentaltown, mm-hmm. but at the end of the day, I mean that's part of it, right?
Yeah, I mean it is. It's definitely evolved with Dennis, with Facebook being so. It's just so convenient. Everyone's got it on their phone, and you can reply. Now, I will say that I still believe that message boards and forums are the best for truly learning and tracking cases and whatnot.
As and discussion. As, I think discussion is a little bit easier on that.
I agree 100%. But it is. There's no doubt that
it doesn't live on your phone.
Yes, I mean they have an app, but it's still not Facebook. Facebook is so quick and
well,
easy.
Facebook is $80 billion or whatever it is now. So,
exactly.
I think there's a big difference there. All right.
Yeah.
So my point in what you just told me, what you said to me is and what I talk about often is that you spent time learning from 5 p.m. to 8 a.m. Okay.
Yeah.
So ultimately, most of us work from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Okay, typically. And then for many people that are struggling or say to me, hey, I'm not doing as well as I should, you know, my first question is what are you doing from 5 p.m. to 8 a.m.? And ultimately, you've got to invest time at that time. And people, then I get the excuse, well, I don't have money. I'm like, well, Dentaltown's free. I mean, it's still good today. Those same things that you learned 7 years ago are still on there. Okay, so you can still learn that. And then Facebook is unbelievable. And then for those that are even younger, there's Instagram. And I mean, I don't even understand what the hell all that is. But I don't think there's any excuse in that sense. So what are your favorite procedures to do?
Ortho and implants. Those are the
okay.
two things that I probably focus on.
And why do you like those?
Because I approach them from, you know, a computer planning technology perspective, and I enjoy that. I like working things up on a computer, and I started off with Sarek. Sarek kind of got me into the whole CAD side of dentistry. And so since then, implants were the next evolution for that for me. And right after that would be the digital ortho side.
So do you have a cone beam in your practice as well?
Yes. Yep.
So walk me through that technologically. I mean, would you say that you're technologically 99% digital? What do you not have?
I don't have any really fancy, big honking lasers.
So you're probably a soft tissue laser?
Yeah. Yep.
Okay.
Diode laser. I had a CO2 laser.
By the way, I love your reaction to that, okay? Because it's like when I got out of school, it's like, who didn't have an electrosurge? You know what I mean? So, I mean, like, today's world, like, I mean, Al Miller from AMD Lasers, he made soft tissue lasers accessible to everybody. I mean, $2,500. You put one in each operatory. I mean, it's unbelievable. I don't know what brand you have, they made it easy to get to. So you have Sarek. Do you have any other type of digital impression systems?
No, just Sarek. I mean, I have the OmniCam and BlueCam.
With that?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah.
Would you recommend it to others as well?
Yeah, I think there's a lot of other systems coming out there, but it's certainly the most put together functional system. I mean, it's
for chairside dentistry.
Yeah, exactly. If you're going to mill in office, great, you can buy another one as well. But right now, if you want to mill in office efficiently, I think that it's the number one system.
In a clean, integrated workflow,
oh,
it's pretty straightforward. Okay. And then what kind of cone beam do you have?
I have the Sirona XG3D.
XG3D, so 8x8 field of view.
Yep.
Okay. So did these things exist in your practice when you bought it?
No. I bought my practice in June, I bought my cone beam in August, and I bought my Sarek in December.
Okay, so let me come back to this, okay? I'm going to come full circle to a certain degree. So you're $250,000 in debt, student loans, okay?
Yep.
You bought a practice, so there's some debt there, and then literally 3 months in, well, I'm assuming there's some debt there, okay?
Some is understandable, yeah.
And then 3 months in, essentially you spent another $250,000
Eighth of a million. It's about $100,000 for my comb beam. But you're right.
But
Cerex. Then 3 months later, yeah, Cerex. So yeah,
yeah,
you're right.
I mean,
$250,000.
So, $250,000. I mean, unless you've got some deal. Listen, I want to know because I deserve the deal. If anybody deserves a deal, for God's sake. But okay, so talk to me about that. I mean, is that your because you're a gadget guy? What makes you think that you, or what drove you to buy those things so early and so quick?
Yeah, it actually is really simple for me. My practice didn't have a pan in the office, and I knew that I needed a pan. And so I'm going to buy a digital pan. Okay, I'm going to spend $40,000 on this digital pan, or I can spend – and I did actually get a deal because it was long story, but I got my comb beam for $90-some thousand as opposed to
$110,000. Okay, so you got – yeah.
But,
okay.
Yeah, not a steal. So I got that, and I I'm going to buy it eventually. I know I'm going to – I don't want to place an implant without a comb beam. At that point, I knew I wanted to do implants, but I just didn't feel – I realized that it just wasn't going to happen without comb beam first. So why put it off? I bought the comb beam. And then a few months later, I had gone through lab after lab, local labs, and I'm not trying to bash labs. I just kept getting open margins, and I would actually bring the guy, one of the main lab guys, back, and I said, what's wrong with my impression? I mean, if I did something wrong, please tell me. So I don't do it again because I can't afford to keep doing these redos. He's like, I don't know what's wrong with it. There's nothing wrong with it. And he told me himself. So either he was lying to me or there was a miscommunication in the lab. So I don't know. So at that point, I said, fine. Everyone on Belltown seems to think Cerex is, or not everyone, but there's enough of a following there to see that they say it's legit. Okay, let's do it. And,
I don't think it's safe to say now, but when I was buying all my stuff in 2008, 2009, I called it the Donald Trump theory. If you're going to go down burning, just go down burning, you know? I mean, at that point, if you're going to go down, you know, you might as well go down all the way. But, okay. And have those both been good purchases for you?
Well, they paid for themselves very quickly.
So would your practice do what it's doing without that stuff?
No.
Not specific brands. I'm talking about
just conceptually. No, I understand.
CAD-CAM and tone beam. No. Would you, on your outside of dentistry stuff that you're doing, would you be where you're at without having invested in that technology some time ago?
I guess, what do you mean by outside of dentistry? You mean home life? Or
you're Blue Sky Bio, you're teaching and
stuff.
No,
because implants, the guided surgery stuff that I teach is based on, it requires CT imaging.
Okay.
And then the digital ortho requires, it doesn't necessarily require those two things, but I also have a 3D printer in my office.
Okay.
And 3D printing is very active in what I'm teaching there.
Okay, so on the 3D printing thing, do you think it's something that every digital dentist should go out and buy? Or do you think maybe a year from now there'll be more uses for it? Or what do you think?
Okay, there's two.
I own one, but I can afford to buy things and just let it sit there, doing.
Here's the deal. My Cerex, as you said, costs $100,000-$130,000.
Right.
You've got your comb beam, $100,000-$130,000. My 3D printer cost me $4,000, including a service plan.
So you got the form too?
Yes.
Okay.
So I mean, I'm not saying everyone should just throw away $4,000, but it's not the same sort of decision making. But you still have to get some use out of it. So. Honestly, my biggest thing is if you're going to do ortho, if you want to do aligners, then there's no question it pays for itself. Because outsourcing the printing of models, it works, but it gets expensive. Now, outsourcing the printing of a surgical guide, that's not the same ROI. Because you're not going to be printing 20 surgical guides for a patient.
Right.
20 models for a patient is realistic. So... but yeah, I mean, in the next year, then we'll have denture resin and possibly provisional. There's some debate there as far as strength and shades, but at least denture-based resin. Night guards. Night guards is something that I think we all agree that if you could print them out yourself for a couple bucks instead of spending $100, even on the low end, $100-$150, you can definitely pay for it pretty quickly that way. But that material is not here. So to your point, in the future, I mean, it is, but anyway, long story.
What do we call it? Leading edge printing is still leading edge technology?
It's the newest thing that is truly growing. I believe, and it's going to get most of the focus.
And what I mean by that, listen, I'm speaking from my own experience, okay?
Yeah,
I want printing to be awesome, okay? I bought the Form 2. I was so excited. It came in on a day I was off from work. I drove to the office, unboxed it, and I stared at it, okay? And I'm like, what the hell do I do with this thing, right? So the first thing I did was I downloaded a fidget spinner, okay? And I put it into the software, and I'm like, okay. And, you know, I got an error printing, and, you know, I'm a little bit ADD, and look, I get it. I was in CERIC in the red cam days. I was, you know, I was in the beginning. I'm technologically.
You could do that. You could print.
Right. No, exactly. I mean, listen, I'm technologically there, okay? But, you know, I looked at it, and I said, okay, I'm not seeing the direct day-to-day uses for me. Now, for me, the surgical guide thing, sure, okay, one problem for me is I can mill them. It takes an hour. It costs me $60. I know I can print it for $3 or $4, but what the hell, $50 at the end of the day, you know? And so some of those things are a little bit challenging for me. So
I guess I misheard. You said leading edge. You mean bleeding edge? Are we ahead of the curve by getting into it, and possibly where it's not really necessary at this point?
No. Okay. So let me clarify what I consider bleeding edge versus leading edge. Okay.
Okay.
Bleeding edge to me would be something that may not make it in dentistry. Okay. So to me, something that would be bleeding edge would be robotic implant placers.
Okay.
So ultimately, that may prove, or MRIs even, okay,
yeah,
that may prove to not be fruitful in the within practice, okay? It could totally die. Leading edge to me is something that is without question going to happen, okay?
Gotcha.
It just may be a little too early, like a few years too early. Like leading edge, CERIC to me was leading edge in 2001, 2002, maybe even 2005, okay? Yeah. But at this point, I wouldn't even call it leading edge. I mean, it's all CAD-CAM in general. So that's what I mean by leading edge. I mean, to me, printing is going to be there. It's no question about it. Okay, no question.
Yeah.
It's just a matter of do we need it now? Do we need it 2 years from now? Do we need it 3-4 years from now? You know?
Yeah, is it ready to be mainstream? No.
Mainstream is my definition of mainstream is even different, but I don't want to go there. Listen, how about this? We're not even mainstream on CAD-CAM yet, okay? Or even digital impressions, okay? So mainstream is a totally different definition. I think, how about this? I think printing will go mainstream faster than cone beam, or faster than some of these other things that have a much higher revenue producing thing, simply because the cost of getting into printing will be $5,000-$10,000.
Yeah, exactly.
For most dentists, they can afford to take a $5,000-$10,000 hit and not, you know, not, I mean, you can't afford to take a $100,000 hit,
exactly.
So it's a different thing.
When you have a loan, basically it's the line is the loan. If you have to get a loan to buy it, you're going to really regret it if it doesn't work out.
Right.
So when you can just say, hey, go ahead and, you know, charge my card or, you know, whatever, which I guess technically is a loan. But, I agree with you completely.
Okay.
3D printing is not at the same level as CAD-CAM. So it is, you know, I guess I agree with it is leading edge, but it is, I think it'll adapt a lot faster.
Of course, everything adapts faster. I mean, history shows you that, right?
Yeah.
I mean, history shows you that the first iPhone had X number of penetration, and now 10 years later, who doesn't have a smartphone, right? And the next technology that comes through will benefit from that, in that it'll penetrate much faster than technology before it. You know, it's the way of the world. So tell me what are legitimate things a dentist could get through? Okay, so let's say I'm a digital impression CAD-CAM owner, cone beam owner. What are the legitimate things that I can, once I learn how to do it, that I can do with printing?
Okay, you can print your surgical guides, as you said, for $2 or $3.
Okay.
Correct. Honestly, it takes me maybe 5 minutes more at most to plan a surgical guide and Blue Sky plan than it would in CERIC.
Okay.
So, but still 5 minutes for, you know, $30-$40 is, you kind of start waiting your time. But anyway, what can you do? Functionally, you can print your surgical guides. You can print your just study models in general. You can print wax-ups, which is something I do routinely. And then printing ortho aligner models. So
now, when you say print wax-ups, are you printing I'm sorry to interrupt. Okay, I do it all. I purposely do it, but I can't help myself. When you say you print wax up, you don't literally print the wax. What you're printing is you do a digital design and then print the waxed model essentially.
Correct. A digital wax up. Yes. Thank you.
Okay.
So I'll do a digital mock up, wax up, and then I'll print that model. So then I can transfer that into the mouth. I can, since I have Cirrus, I can image that and then copy those crown designs, whatnot.
So do you own like 3Shape, ExoCAD, Dental Wings?
No, just Cirrus. Just Cirrus.
Okay. Cirrus. So what are you doing your digital wax ups on?
Either in Blue Sky Plan or Mesh Mixer.
Blue Sky Plan mainly. Yeah. Interesting.
It's dental software. Mesh Mixer is great, but it's still not dental, so you're kind of working outside of the dental environment, whereas Blue Sky Plan has tools that are designed to work around it.
And what libraries for teeth are you using?
Christian Brennus is a prosthodontist. Okay. He donated, if you will, his library of teeth that he designed and to Blue Sky Plan. The Blue Sky Bio, and they incorporated them, and they're pretty awesome. I mean, you only got one library, so that's.
But can you get the denture teeth library from Ivoclar, from Dentsply? I mean, I'm familiar with 3Shape, so their lab software.
Most likely not, because most companies are really tight with them. They think that you're going to go and print your own teeth, which is absurd. It's hard to get. You can find some more out there, but or you could scan your own in. I mean, you can make them. Now that takes more work. But for now, what I typically do is I just use his model, his teeth, and I shape my. I can. You can stretch them. You put them proportionally.
Sure.
And then heck, you get them all done, and maybe you want the edges a little more rounded off.
Yeah. Well, so you just contour
the model and just. Yeah, that's not really a tube in the lab.
Okay, so before I interrupt you, you can do wax ups, print those models. You can do surgical guides. What else can I do with this thing?
Okay, ortho aligners. So you could do your ortho aligner, like your Invisalign, mild to moderate crowding type cases, and you could set them up, pay literally the Blue Sky Plan. I mean, I'm not trying to endorse that specific product. Of course, I use it and promote it. But it's $5 to design the upper, $5 to design the lower. And then you print out all the models. It tells you how many models. It does all the calculations. It runs the algorithms to figure out how the teeth move. You print the models. You do the suck downs. And now you've done your ortho. You could do a set of 10 upper, 10 lower. Materials would be $110. You pay your assistant for it. It takes them about 2 hours at most to trim those 20 models. And that's
suck downs.
Yes, thank you. That's trim the suck downs. So I actually just put a video up of how I polish them using the Scotch-Brite pads. Now you've got maybe 2 hours in work. We'll say $25 on the high end for an assistant, that's $50. So you've got $160 other than about 20 minutes of planning time for me. I spent about 20 minutes on the software designing that plan.
Okay. So that's – but you're Baron Gruder, so you spend 20 minutes doing it. Okay, so what do you legitimately have? Hours? Somebody's going to spend an hour doing it?
I think an hour would be a lot of time.
Okay.
I watch people, other people do the designs in my course. So, I mean, I can see how quickly people can learn it. I think they can legitimately do certainly a single arch. That's literally a 10 to 15 minute process for anyone. Doing multiple dual arches, that's where it becomes more complicated.
When do you think we can get rid of doing the suck down on this and just print the stupid aligner?
That's a ways out, because the problem is printing a material 500 microns or half a millimeter thick and still having it maintain dimensional accuracy is where we're missing. And there's companies out there testing, but even Invisalign and ClearCorrect still do suck downs. They just happen to have a machine that has a laser that cuts it out instead of an assistant.
Oh, I got you.
That's where they get added efficiency, but they also have an added budget.
Right. They also have, again, $10 billion or whatever. You know, Invisalign, I think, is like a $3, $4 billion market share. But, yeah. Okay. Okay. So, all right. Okay. What else can I do?
You can also print custom trays. And so some people think that's dumb. You can do it with a triad.
I don't think that's dumb at all. I think there's a lot of benefit to that.
I do it on literally almost every one of my removal cases now.
Let me ask you this. Can you do a custom tray for a dentate patient, for somebody with teeth, without even taking an impression? Can you do it with just the cone beam?
Yes.
I think to me, that's the beauty of it. I mean, yeah, maybe it's not as custom, but it has a little extra, let's call it wax or spacer in there to accommodate where the cone beam doesn't capture the tooth data as nicely. But to me, that's pretty nice. And what are you doing that in? Again, Blue Sky Plan?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, I do a little bit of adjustment of it in Mesh Mixer, adding like a handle. Yeah,
okay.
That kind of stuff. But that's all coming to Blue Sky Plan as well. I don't mean to make this an advertisement for it.
No, that's okay.
Get to a point where you can do it all within the same software.
Yeah, I mean, listen, time gets there, right? Ultimately, it takes time, energy, money. We need more people adopting various technologies. I mean, Blue Sky Bio isn't a multi-billion-dollar company, so they can't put so much stuff behind it. They're led by good people. I mean, I happen not to use their product. I'm not saying it's good or bad. But that's the different reason I won't do it. Let's not go there right now. So, the other thing I think, I would like to not take any impressions in my practice. And, right now the things we're taking impressions for are guards and whitening trays and not even study models anymore. Well, we have been for study models because I didn't have the ability to print them. So now I think that will be, to me, the next step is totally to get rid of impression material. And I think the limitation on that for me has been I've needed models, right? It's not that I've always been able to capture digital impressions for the last 5 years with Omnicam, but I haven't been able to print those models. And I think that's going to be the next thing for us is to be able to print them and do whitening trays and ultimately night guards or whatever it may be. Because you can, once you print the model, then you can do the suck down night guards and all of that stuff.
Exactly. And you've got a forever model. You don't have to,
yeah.
Did I throw away that model or whose model was that?
Oh, you can reprint it. You just click
exactly.
Print.
That's one of the things I tell everyone is if you do any ortho in your practice, having a forever study model, you know, a retainer model that you can make a retainer on at any point, that's just awesome. You never have to worry about, you know, where the teeth were.
No, that's awesome. All right. So, Baron, I haven't even got to half the stuff I want to get to. All right. So let me skip ahead to this. Okay. So, selfishly, I asked a lot about printing, but that's kind of the area that, let's talk about that. Let's give you a little bit of time on, what you're doing, what I call outside of dentistry, outside of practice dentistry. So talk to me about how you got into your training, your speaking and all of that stuff. So if somebody is interested in doing that, how'd you get into it? What are you doing? Kind of give people an idea of how much what you're doing and how much you're doing.
Okay. So I guess I'll go through the timeline. I started posting cases. You know, what did I do as far as designing surgical guides using Blue Sky Plan? That was the first step that got me kind of involved. That's actually after posting a lot of stuff on CERT doctors and whatnot and getting more involved with the whole, you know, the outside, the more higher end education as you talked about before. But anyway, I started posting more on cases, getting used to sharing and talking, discussing that, and then answering questions. You know, online, people on Facebook and Dentaltown, you know, how do you use this? How did you approach that case? Start doing that, and then getting approached about, hey, would it be good to run a course? Let's do a course. Let's teach some people.
Or get invited to a study club or share your ideas. Okay.
Yeah,
so
absolutely.
Ultimately, so you said exactly what I wanted you to say, which is, it didn't just happen. You created it, right? I mean, it created by putting yourself out there. I mean, but people say, well, people just ask you to speak. I'm like, yes, now they do. Okay. And you experience that now as well. But in the beginning, it was putting yourself out there. And one thing I would love for you to have mentioned was, you have to document your cases. You have to take photographs. You know, you know, the first step, people say, I don't need photographs. I'm like, well, you need it to show your patients. You need it to market your practice. You need it to market yourself. There's so many things you can do with these things. And ultimately that's how it becomes. And then, you know, you're also in a time where you can speed up what used to be publishing articles to create notoriety is now, I mean, instead of publishing an article that takes 3 months to get it in to publication, I can literally do something and publish it 5 minutes from now.
Absolutely. You can complete a case today, post it tonight, and you'll have so many likes and what shares. And
shares and conversation and discussion.
That's really how it worked for me. And that evolved into ortho, then getting involved with Blue Sky Plans ortho.
Okay.
So, yeah.
How much are you doing this? I mean, how often are you out and about?
I travel once or twice a month.
Okay.
One to two weekends a month of teaching. Yeah.
Okay, so that's 26 times a year.
Yeah, my wife would prefer it to be two.
Yeah, Two times a year?
Yeah.
You know, at my peak, I had done almost, this year, I will be my peak. It'll be 41 weekends.
So no, that is not a goal to aspire to.
No, of course not. But at my peak, I was doing 32 on the road weekends.
Yeah.
And, so now I'm doing, this year I'll have 17 or 18 on the road. So yeah, I mean, it's a different world now.
Yeah.
Go ahead, keep going.
I was going to say, my aim is around, we'll say 12 to 14. And that's probably more like what I'll do. Some months I have two, but most it's about one a month.
Okay, so. Good for you. All right, so let's spend 10 more minutes on this, okay? What's the best advice you've received? I mean, what would you tell somebody, you know, what would you tell somebody else out there? What would your message be to other dentists?
Okay. Don't be afraid of technology and learning about it, because that is where we're going in dentistry. Incorporating that's going to help with dentistry. Honestly, I throw out one, just because you mentioned something that made me think about earlier. The one course I think has been the biggest course that's affected my dentistry in general has been FGTP, facially generated treatment planning.
From Frank Spear. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, because you talked about photography. I mean, you learn a great deal about photographing cases and patients. And then using those photographs to learn. It's both learning how to treatment plan the case, but also how you work the case, what you did, and consistency of photography. I'm not a photographer at all, but my photos are fairly consistent, and it's allowed me to, track things better and find things better. So anyway, I think that there's one course everyone, needs to take is a course, that course or a course like it. Learning how to treatment plan and look at a case from the big picture.
It's hard to say there's anything like what Frank Spear teaches.
Yeah, exactly. I know. I said it because I feel like I should. Yeah. I don't know, but of course that's effective. There might be. I just don't know.
I mean, he just has a way.
Yeah.
I mean, but here's the challenge. It's $5,000.
Oh, it is. It's expensive. Yeah, there's your year's budget on your CE.
But would you tell somebody that it is absolutely worth blowing an entire year's budget on that class?
Yeah, I
can tell you it is, because it is more than just photography. It is understanding how you talk to people. It's fundamentally one of the most important things that I've learned. It allows you to think backwards. Actually, it teaches you to think from end result how to get there.
Like honestly, the two things I'm doing right now with ortho, I never would have been doing without taking that course, because that course taught me to look at tooth position, where things are, and as you said, start with the end in mind. And I mean, yes, you learn. Everyone says, well, you learn about treatment planning in dental school. No, you don't learn about real world treatment planning in dental school. At least I didn't.
No,
I
mean, God. That's almost disgusting that you say that.
Someone told me that, and I saw it on a message board on Facebook, and I just thought, wow, you went to. I mean. And I'm not bashing the school I went to. I just mean it's just not the same. So what I learned there, and it told me how important it was. And is approaching every mouth like a denture. Where should these teeth go? Then those teeth, then these, then these. And it made me look a lot bigger picture than just one tooth at a time. And started to learn what I didn't know and what I need to learn more about.
I don't want you necessarily to say numbers, but have you doubled your practice since you bought it? Close?
No, I'm about 40, 50, well, sorry. I'm about 70% up.
Okay, that's close. Okay.
Yeah.
So let's say I'm an existing dentist or I'm a new dentist like yourself, like you were back then, buying a practice, and my goal is, hey, I want to go 70% up. What would be the one or two things you'd tell somebody that has been key or instrumental for you to get there? Adding services?
Adding services, and like I said, learning how to treatment plan and look at the big picture. You're not just doing what was always done in the past.
I walk me through the services as you added them. Which services? So again, I walk into the practice when you bought it. I could get cleaning services. I could get direct restoration. I could get indirect restoration, probably, not complex like 20 teeth or anything, but, indirect restorations. And then I could get removable appliances. What did you add in the timeline? Because essentially you do everything now.
Okay, so I guess it was first was just, you know, chairside, ferric, you know, chairside crown of bridge. Then started, became implants, single implants.
Okay.
Then, I guess ortho would have followed after that.
No, let's be more specific on ortho. What? How did you start? What kind of cases did you start with?
The first thing I, very first thing I did was actually clear corrects training. I did that while I was in dental school because I was able to get that for free by doing it while I was in school.
Okay.
And then shortly thereafter, I learned Inman aligners, which is also a great adjunct to cosmetic ortho.
That's Tiff Qureshi and those guys,
Yep. And then from there, I went to, I did Rick DePaul's six-month braces.
Powerpux.
Yep.
And similar to six-month smiles. Actually, the precursor to six-month smiles.
Yeah, exactly.
And
then that was, again, really starting to, so I progressively got more and more teeth that I could manipulate, if you will.
Okay.
And then I bought a practice, my second practice, that had a bunch of ortho cases going on that I didn't realize, that they didn't tell me about.
So you were just thrown into the fire.
Yeah, exactly. And that gave me the opportunity, that's the word I use, to learn comprehensive ortho. So I took Garrity orthodontics.
Oh, my dental school classmate swears by that course.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's excellent. And so I took that. So that was my ortho, you know.
And what kind of time frame was that? From basically clear correct out of school to like comprehensive orthodontics? Was that 1 year, 2 years, 4 years?
4 years. 4 years.
Four years.
I did clear correct right before I graduated, and I did Garrity right after I bought my practice in 2014, the second practice.
Okay. All right. So it's not like you did it bam, 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 bam. So you progressively did
it. You could almost say one a year. One of those type of programs a year almost.
Okay, good. And then, so now you can do orthodontics. And then what's next? What else did you – what's the next thing you learned after orthodontics?
I got more focused on third molar extractions.
And how did you do on that?
Dentaltown CE J. Resnick.
J. Resnick, onlineoralsurgery.com.
Yeah. Okay. And that's YouTube and then asking people online. I mean, I did not take a hands-on course for thirds.
Do you work with your surgeon closely to learn better or something like that?
Not those things, honestly.
Okay.
I have some great surgeons I work with, but no, not really on that.
Okay. Do you do all third molars, or are you pretty particular about what you'll tackle?
I will do partial bony and above. Full bony, I will not. And then fully horizontal, no.
Okay. Listen, I'm not trying to tell you what to do, but my listeners at least, is that's important. Is to me, one of the fears that keeps us from learning things is that we feel that we have to do everything. Like when you say third molars to me, I'm suddenly thinking horizontal impactions, all these crazy things. Yeah. I'm like, I don't want to do that. So what you're learning, and one of the skills that we all have to learn in ourselves, is to pick and choose what we do.
Right.
You know, and know our limitations, and honestly know our patient limitations, right? So for example, are you doing IV sedation?
I am not. And Missouri is terribly restrictive.
Okay.
So
to me, if you're not doing IV sedation, to me it's almost, I think, I don't want to use the word, it's just inappropriate to do full bony extractions on your patients if you're not sedating them to a level to make them comfortable. I mean, how about this? If I were a patient, I wouldn't let anybody I don't let them take out my, I just had four teeth taken out a couple of weeks ago, but I wanted to be sedated just for those, and they were already erupted. So, okay. And then what's next after, where are you on your implant journey?
I guess.
Large cases?
Yeah.
Okay.
I used to refer them out, some of them, but I haven't referred one out in a few years.
Okay. So talk to us about that journey. How'd you get from zero implants to full arch implants? How long the timeline? Where'd you learn? What'd you learn? How'd you learn?
I guess I've been placing implants for 6 years. So, I started with fairly simple singles. I say simple. My first was an immediate upper lateral, which is
the worst. That's an unbelievably simple one to start with.
Yeah,
a 26-year-old probably with the high smile line.
But she was a smoker. I got impatient with waiting for that golden opportunity for the simple, implant. And I just told her up front, hey, this is my first one. I'm going to cut you, do it less expensive. I'd like to learn. Are you willing to have me do it? She is. Okay, great. I got to place an implant. I started with that. And then, I got various training at various places, more in-depth surgery as far as.
What would you recommend to somebody?
As far
training.
As what?
for the training?
Well, there's a number of them out there, but they're good and reputable, I'd say. The one that I usually refer people to is GARG's course.
Okay, implant seminars.
Yeah. Okay. I didn't take that, but it's one that's, I definitely respect the course and what they learn there. It's definitely comprehensive.
Another one I would recommend to our readers as well is Implant Pathway from Justin Moody. He does a great job as well. And obviously the Mission Institute, and you know, there's White Cap. There's so many great places out there.
Yeah, exactly.
So, yeah. Okay. All right. So what are your goals? I mean, where do you want to be 5 years from now?
I want to have probably, in 5 years, I want to have two associates working for me, so I have more freedom to not be in the office if I want to. So I can,
okay.
And then I can still teach, you know, once a month. I still think that the once a month is a good, you know, still a home 3 weekends a month, but at the same time I get out there. That's the perfect goal, if you will.
So what you're saying is once a month travel.
That's what I mean. Sorry, yeah.
So what about locally? Why don't you just teach at your office or do something like that?
Because I'm in Kansas City.
it's easy to get to.
Yeah, it is.
Middle of the country.
It is. You'd think it'd be perfect because it's like smack dab in the middle of the country.
Yeah.
But it's not Miami. It's not.
Sorry, it's not. But Raleigh, North Carolina isn't, and we're doing great.
Yeah. Well, that next, when I build my office, which I almost did a year and a half ago, I decided to expand instead. But when I build an office, there will be a lecture room in there. So that you're absolutely right. That's a goal, is to be able to actually lecture at home for the weekend as opposed to having to travel at all. But,
and then that would free you up to, I think it allows you to engage with people more. My experience, so we built our training center about three years ago, and it's allowed me to engage with people in a much deeper way. It's allowed me to have more flexibility with my family, allowing me to, you know, not giving me as much, I shouldn't say allowing me, but not giving me nearly as much grief because, hey, at least I come home, I sleep at home. And financially, it's allowed me to, it's given me a lot of freedom, and it's accelerated my ability to do things in my practice differently. Like I can afford to hire a second associate and not worry about the number crunching on that part because, you know, I've developed side income that is significant, to be quite honest with you. So I would encourage you that 5 years is too long of a goal for that. I think you should draw out a plan to get there in 18 months.
I'll put the numbers together.
No, but that's the first step, right? I mean, is you got to figure out, because ultimately at the end of the day, what you got to say is, okay, I'm making X and I need to continue making X. So how do I make X without working in the practice? And then you work backwards from there. Okay. So that means, let's just use fake numbers here. Okay. Or just random numbers. Let's say I need to make 200 grand a year. Okay. And now I want to work three half days a week or whatever it is. So so let's say I want to split my income 100 grand in the practice, 100 grand outside of the practice or whatever it may be, and just do the math backwards from there. I mean, it becomes much easier to do that. I mean, my goal is to get to 3 half days a week next year. But all right, what else are your other goals 5 years from now?
To have Blue Sky Plan Ortho cruising and being the number one software for using it.
Okay. And so that's good. What else? What are your practice goals?
Practice goals, like I said, to have two associates. We built out the practice to very comfortably seat or have one full time associate with me, you know, side by side.
How many operatories do you have?
We have 7 ops, 6 equipped, and
could support 3 dentists out of 7 ops?
That 3 will be hard.
Why?
I think. Well, I don't know. Maybe not. That would give them. You know, I like to work out of 2 or 3 ops. So I think
the dentistry you want to do the dentistry you want to do, you're gonna have to work out of 1 op.
Yeah. Yeah.
How many hours a week are you open?
We're currently open 32. Well, yeah, 32. Because I just closed Fridays and Saturdays because I don't have an associate and I don't have the willingness to work Fridays and Saturdays.
So this is another soapbox of mine. Okay. So hear me out. Okay. There's 168 hours a week. Okay. And you're open, your practice is open 32 of them. So your facility is utilized 20% of the time. Okay. So what I hear over and over from people is, I don't have enough space. I need more space. And the first question I ask them is, what is your utilization of your operatories?
Oh, you're right. I could have 2 associates and how stagger the schedule. That'd be very easy.
Okay, but, so to me, I think we're getting misled oftentimes by companies wanting us to big buildings, to buy more equipment, things like that, that I don't think until we hit a 35-40% utilization of our facility, you know, I think it's hard for me to say that it makes sense to build a new building.
Well, yeah, my practice has been open on Fridays, every Friday for the past 7 years, and I just closed them. This Friday I worked, and that was the last Friday from now on until I get an associate to do it. And, I mean, I've got the volume to support an associate, but I really, really only 2 to 3 days a week, and I haven't found one yet that wants just 2 to 3 days a week.
Well, so. Stay true to yourself on the associate search. I've documented my challenges in the associate land pretty well.
I've had three.
And my mistake is, I say this over and over again. My mistake in the associate thing is that I wasn't selfish enough in the beginning to myself and what my practice needed. So I would say don't ever stop looking for the right fit and be committed to the right fit. So, yeah. What questions you got for me, Baron?
How's sleep going? Sleep dentistry.
Sleep is doing unbelievable, man. We will probably hit our safe goal is 150 to 160 appliances this year. Our bold goal is 200 to 220 appliances.
Wow, that's a few.
Yeah, it is. And we do about half of our appliances from within the practice, and about half of our appliances from outside of the practice.
So people are being referred to you just for sleep.
Yeah, you know, and a lot of that comes through meeting physicians. A lot of that, and I consider outside of the practice even external marketing for them. Okay, okay. So about half are our existing patient base, what I call from hygiene. Okay, and about half is from outside, which is marketing, physicians, different things like that. And I will tell you that sleep docs are my least referring physicians out there. So, you know, psychiatrists, neurologists, pulmonologists, GIs, those are pulmonologists and neurologists are kind of sleep docs. But that's where the majority of that's coming from. Where are you at in sleep?
I'm just getting into it. I mean, I don't know if you know. Do you know Michael Cohen?
Yeah, I know Michael. Yeah. With what's his company called?
Awaken to Sleep.
Awaken to Sleep.
He's awesome. I had him out to my office and got the staff trained as far as, you know, how to work in the office.
Yeah.
And that was about a month ago. And because I just sold my other practice and transitioned out the associate.
So now you're ready to focus on it.
Exactly.
Yeah. All right. So listen, I like Mike. Okay. Totally do. And this is just who I am. And I've had this conversation with Mike. My only disagreement with Mike is I don't believe in third partying out HSTs unless your state requires it. I believe in providing HSTs through the office as long as your state requires it. That's my only disagreement. And that's, you know, part of his business model, certainly. But he's fantastic. And that's what else you got for me? Anything else?
Oh, you still haven't found an associate though?
I do. Listen, I got a new one, and I got number 4 in January, number 5 in January, my 5th try. And I really like this guy. Really do. He's fantastic.
But you posted that letter like.
Yeah, but I'm looking for a third one. We're looking for a third dentist now.
Okay. But you said your 5th one. You mean your 5th?
My 5th try at an associate. Oh. As a second doctor, okay?
So let's clarify that. Associate, but you're looking for a second associate.
Yes.
And that's what I mean. You still haven't found the second one yet. You're still auditioning for that?
No, we met a guy that I liked, that I thought could be a good fit, but he wanted full-time, and we're not quite there yet in the practice.
Yeah.
And another thing is, being true to myself, I think we would compete for some of the same patients. And selfishly, I'm not willing to give up the surgery. That's what I want to do. I still want to work. So we don't have enough surgery to keep both of us happy. So that's one challenge there. But I think our goal is by the fall to bring in a 2 or 3 day a week person. And then hopefully by mid next year to go full time. And then that'll allow me to my goal is to go to 3 half days, by middle of next year.
Gotcha.
By the end of the school year is my goal. My other goal is to take the entire month of July off next year, 2018.
That's an interesting month. Okay.
Well, and the kids are out of school.
Yeah.
So we can have the entire month together. So, and then August, we get out in June, and June's still quite busy at the office. And then August, they go back to school. So in August is not a good time. So I want to take essentially basically from July 4th on the whole month out.
You mentioned utilizing your practice more efficiently. How many, what days of the week are you open?
So we're open 5 days a week. Okay. And we're open 8 to 5, but
how do you deal with that with staff? Cause that's the thing that I've had the biggest struggle with is,
we don't have any staff members. We have all team members.
Oh, team members. I never refer to them that way either. I don't know why I did now. Okay. How do you approach your team members about that? Because my team knows that I do pay it if it happens, but we aim not to have overtime. And on a four day a week, that's usually 36 hours, even though we call it 32. Yeah. How do you approach that?
Everybody in my practice is a salary employee.
But can you do that with non? There's like certain rules about what is it, exempt and non-exempt. Do you have to have a bachelor's for not with all this other junk?
Look, I have no earthly idea. Okay, all I can tell you is everybody's salaried. We don't clock in, we don't clock out in our practice. There's no time clock there. If you feel that you've worked and you're owed some time and you take half Friday off, take half Friday off. Just talk to our practice administrator about that and make it happen. It's an honor system. And to me, the key with the honor system is we're surrounded by people who are honorable. And if you're not honorable, I fished that out pretty quick. So we just don't have that as an issue. I truly say that. And I'm upfront when I hire people, I say, listen, we want you for 5 days a week. So at some point, if you're absolutely saying to me that you'll never be able to work 5 days a week, even for a short period of time, then this is not the right fit for you.
Okay.
So, you know, we're just adamant about that. And that's why we've had turnover. We had turnover 3 years ago because we went through a transition in our practice of getting to where I wanted to get to. Because 3 years ago, I was working 4 full days and it was nonstop. I just couldn't do it anymore.
I gotcha. That makes sense.
So, yeah.
I was going to say, that's my current struggle with Fridays.
Yeah.
I'll figure it out.
Well, ultimately, you know, I mean, money talks sometimes. That incentivizes people sometimes to do things. Yeah. And ultimately, you know, sometimes you can shift people. And maybe on Fridays, you don't need a – like on Fridays, we don't have a full crew.
Yeah.
Okay. So on Fridays, we have, you know, 2/3 of a crew. So it's available. It's possible. You know, I'd like to add Saturdays to my practice. But we gotta make Monday through Friday. It's full, but we gotta make it flow and be ideal for us before I'll add Saturdays and stuff like that. So we'll see.
Gotcha.
So Baron, I hope this is easier and better than you expected. I do appreciate you being on.
How do people get in touch with you?
You can find me on Facebook. That's probably the easiest way. Just my name, Baron Grutter.
And what's your email address?
My email address is bgrutter, that's G-R-U-T-T-E-R, dds@gmail.com.
And do you welcome people to email you?
That's fine. Absolutely. Cool.
Okay. So if you have any questions about Blue Sky Bio, Blue Sky Plan, Blue Sky Ortho, Blue Sky, God knows what else they have, Blue Sky Box, I think Baron is a great resource. You're involved with the Blue Sky Academy as well?
Correct. Yep.
Okay. So that's a wonderful resource for those of you that are interested in their particular products and line of product. So that would be blueskybioacademy.com.
blueskybio.academy.
blueskybio.academy as well. So certainly, Baron, I want to wish you good luck. I want to thank you for being on. And I enjoyed our conversation. Selfishly, I actually learned a lot of things. So that's good.
Well, good. Thanks a lot, Timon. I appreciate your help. You have a good one.
That's it. Take care. Enjoy your family.
You too. Bye.
Bye.
Thanks so much for listening to T-Bone Speaks with Dr. Tarun Agarwal. Remember to keep striving for excellence, and we'll catch you on the next episode.